And I believe we have the rabbi with us on the phone.
Good morning, Nativ.
Good morning, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good morning, Rabbi.
Oh, good morning, Ilan, and how are you?
I'm fine, just arrived to the studio.
Just
excited
in time.
To be here. Just in time.
Wonderful, I hope everyone's preparations are going good for Pesach.
Yeah.
And everyone's houses are cleaned, hopefully. Now?
We're getting there.
We're getting there. Okay.
We're looking for the candles.
Yeah. I just, my house just got cleaned yesterday.
Okay. So it's chametz free.
We're, besides one room, we're chametz free.
That's good.
So we're getting there. As they say, when the first night comes, we're all going to be there. How we got there, with what type of stress level or no stress level or all that, that's a different story. But we'll all be sitting by the table come Seder night. So, anyway, I thought we could talk about this week, being that Monday night is Pesach. Some of the customs, some of the ideas that go in regards to Pesach. And one of the things that we do, we start off, obviously, the night before Pesach, which obviously this week, this year is Sunday night, and we go in search for the chametz, and we search, as it says in the Mishnah, on the eve of the 14th of Nisan, by the light of a candle. He was saying looking for candles, yes, so make sure you find your candle, and we must search all the crevices and everywhere of the home for chametz. Now, that's a simple thing. You go and search for chametz. But if you look a little bit deeper into it, searching for chametz involves more than removing every particle of physical bread or anything that we can't have in our domain, but it also means eradicating every last vestige of spiritual leaven, you know, self-inflating pride, so on and so forth, things that stop us or hinder us from service of Hashem. So it's the same way that we conduct the search by light of candle. By the light of one candle of God, we try and search. I mean, in other words, the soul of man. Now, once you've searched for that chametz, we burn the chametz the next day, and does not mean that you take all your chametz out of your house and burn it. That's not what it means. Because any chametz that's in our house, you can have it in a cupboard, you can have it wherever you want to store it that is closed away, and we sell it. We sell the chametz. I do that, and whoever hasn't done it yet can always get in touch with me. We sell the chametz, and the way that it is I sell it to a non-Jew who literally buys with real money, all the contracts of the chametz of the people of Windsor. So now this chametz belongs to him. Even though it's in my house, it is not mine. I'm not sinning by having it.
His responsibility.
Yeah, it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to him. And come right after Pesach, I will then buy with real money back the chametz for the community. And with that, everyone is then able to then go and use your chametz. So it's a very important thing that you sell your chametz before, so you don't have that issue. Starting Monday is supposed to be a fast day for the Bechor, for the firstborn. And it's a ancient, widespread custom that everyone fasts. And the reason this commemorates is the miracle which spared the firstborn Jewish sons from the plague, which struck down the firstborn sons of the Egyptians. And there's many, many reasons, but that's one of the main reason is that we fast. Now, this fast is a fast that many opinions that they apply to a woman and a man that are firstborn. And it's more of a lenient fast, so it's not a strict fast like, for example, Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av or so on. And there are many opinions, and I do that as well. Me being a firstborn as well, so I would have to fast.
Me too.
Okay, there you go. Uh-huh. I heard that the firstborns are really, really smart people.
You're absolutely right.
I can't relate.
Yeah. So what do? We have a siyum. We have a ending of a tractate. Someone will learn a tractate of Mishnah or Gemara or something like that. And he will end it. He will finish it. And generally when something is finished in Torah, book of Torah, so and so, it's a big happy occasion. So we have a siyum, an ending. So once this individual will do that, then there's a little bit of food, cake, you know, some l'chaim and that type of thing. So that person individually is partaking in that siyum, in that ending of the tractate. And because of that, he is exempt from fasting. And even if someone has to fast because you don't have a siyum to go to or so on, you should stop at least 2 or 3 hours before Pesach start, because you don't want to start Pesach with a grudgy and so on and so forth. So you want to be able to start on a good note. So therefore, if you have to fast, start a little, use the end a little bit earlier. Now, I think we talked about last week, some of the symbols that we use for Pesach at the Seder place, at the night of Pesach. We talked about the wine, the salt water, the matzah, the bitter herbs, the charoset, which is the texture, it looks like river mud, the egg and the shank bone, which reminds us of the korban, the sacrifice that was brought up in the Holy Temple. Now, on the Seder plate, we have three matzahs. So why do we have three matzahs? You know, on Shabbat, we have, when we make kiddush, after we make kiddush, we have two chalos. We have two breads, we have two chalos, and on that we make the blessing of the hamotzi. Pesach, we have three. Why? So, there are four reasons that I could think of. There might be more, but one of them is that the allusion to the three measures of flour that Abraham asked Sarah to prepare for the angels that visited him after his circumcision, because the Midrash explains that the angels visited Abraham on Pesach, on Passover. The number three also represents three incredible people in the Jewish Bible, in the Torah: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We also represent the Jews that are divided into three groups: the Kohen, the Levi, and the Israelites. Now, so that is, and then there's one more reason, is that, as I started saying, Shabbat and holiday, we need to have two loaves of challah to commemorate the double portion of manna that was received by the desert. But on Pesach, we have a third one. And the reason for this is, we need to have the two whole matzahs to be able to say the blessing on it. Because we start out with three. But in the middle of the Seder, before we get to making the blessing of the matzah, we take the middle matzah and we break it. And that middle matzah that we break goes, how the bigger piece goes to the afikoman that the kids are going to find. And that being said, if I have two and I break the one for the afikoman, now I'm left with one and a half. I can't make the blessings. I need to make sure you have three matzahs on the Seder plate. Now, why do we have four cups of wine? I know people like to drink and that type of thing, but there's a symbolic reason, there's a real reason why we have four cups of wine. Number one, God, when he was starting this redemption, and when he started describing our exodus from Egypt as the birth of a nation, God used four expressions, which were, I will take you out, Votseti v'tzalti v'ga'alti v'lakachti. I will take you out, I will save you, I will redeem you, and I will take you as a nation. Because he used those four expressions of redemption, that is why we use four cups of wine. As well as, the four cups of wine represent four individual special people in the Jewish world, in the Jewish Bible, our four mothers, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. So now, it's very important that on Pesach we have all the items that we have to do, which we have the biblical commandments of the 4 cups of wine or grape juice. We have the matzah. We have the maror, the bitter herbs. And then we have the story, the Haggadah, the story that we have to talk about on Pesach, about the redemption of the Jews from Egypt and so on. Those are, if you just do those, you fulfill the mitzvah of Pesach. So people think, what is the biggest mitzvah and the big part of what Pesach is all about? Is the Shulchan Aruch, the meal. That's an important part. But if a person doesn't have a meal, for whatever reason, he still fulfills the mitzvah of Pesach without that. So, I want to wish everyone, obviously, a wonderful Pesach. It's not too late. If someone still needs to sell the chametz, they can get in touch with me. Someone needs a Seder. We have a Seder the first night of Pesach, a community Seder, at the Shar in the social hall. We have a nice crowd that is coming, obviously. We have the handmade matzah. We have different types of Israeli wines. The meal is catered by Mazal. It's very interactive, very interesting. We do a lot of things in English and Hebrew. So it's beautiful. So, and then I believe there's another Seder. The
second Seder.
The second Seder, yep. Which is at Congregation Beis El. So, I don't know what time that starts, but it starts not too late, I would imagine.
No, I don't remember when. I can check it, but I'm sure that if you really want to go to the second Seder to the Congregation Beth El, they will accept you.
And we start Monday evening, start Pesach, the first Seder. We'll start at 6:45. So, anyone that needs a Seder is more than welcome to come, and I want to wish everyone, Nativ and Ilan, Chag Sameach, enjoy. We should really, truly feel our true freedom from our slavery, from our spiritual slavery, and that God willing, next year, as they say, Lashana Haba Birushalayim, that hopefully this Pesach will be already in Yerushalayim in Israel with Mashiach, that we won't have to do Pesach over here. We'll do it in Israel. So, if not, then we have Seder's covered in Windsor.
Yeah. So, Rabbi, I want to wish you and the whole community a happy and kosher Passover.
You too.
And God willing, we'll talk next week.
God willing, we will.
Thank you again.
Chag Sameach, Nativ and Ilan, and we will talk. Shabbat Shalom.
Chag Sameach and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Okay, beautiful. Bye-bye.
Thanks.